This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This was a great year for baseball. Record attendance in both the major and the minor leagues. The historic triumph of the Boston Red Sox. But now a scandal threatens some of the game's biggest stars, some of its most treasured records, and the integrity of the game itself. Last week, the San Francisco Chronicle published transcripts of grand jury testimony from 7-time most valuable player Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants and another former MVP, Jason Giambi, of the New York Yankees. Under oath, both said they used substances provided by Barry Bonds' trainer. Giambi admitted that he knowingly used different types of steroids. Bonds claimed that he never asked his trainer what the stuff was. The testimony is part of a long-running investigation of a Bay Area laboratory called Balco. Four men, including Balco's owner and Bonds' trainer, have been indicted. Prominent athletes in professional football and in track and field have also been implicated in the scandal, but baseball comes in for special criticism because the sports agreement with its players' union allows for only limited testing and mild punishments for violators. The players' union meets today in Phoenix, where this issue will be discussed. Senator John McCain says thousands of high school kids follow the lead of the stars and use these potentially dangerous drugs, and he warns that there will be congressional legislation soon unless baseball cleans up its act. Later in the program, a new legal challenge to the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. But first, steroids and baseball. How do you think the scandal affects the integrity of the game and the players? Do you think kids in your community use the players and their drug use as role models? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now from the studios at the San Francisco Chronicle is Mike Fainaru-Wada, one of the Chronicle reporters who broke this story. Thanks very much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, Neil.
Now, remind us, this testimony, we're all interested in what Barry Bonds and Jason Giambi had to say to the grand jury, but this is all in the context of this federal investigation into Balco.
Yes, it is. It's all part of this ongoing deal, which began back in September of 2003. The actual investigation probably dates even a year before that, but the story breaks in September of 2003 when federal agents raid Balco, and they also raid the home of Bonds' personal trainer. And several months later, the indictments are announced publicly, actually on national television by John Ashcroft, of these four men who are alleged to have been distributing performance-enhancing drugs to elite athletes.
And then it found a way into a mention in the President's State of the Union address and various other things. But it's important to remember that these athletes all testified under immunity from prosecution.
Right. They were all basically brought in simply as witnesses to the case. They were brought in, promised immunity, promised partial immunity, told that, look, we're not interested in going after you. We're not interested in prosecuting you in any fashion whatsoever. We just want you to provide us information that will help us in figuring out what's happened in this case and indicting whoever we want to indict. And you will be fine as long as you don't perjure yourselves.
Now, grand jury testimony is a secret. It's sealed. Somebody, and I'm sure you're not going to tell me who, but somebody wants this information public for one reason or another.
Sure. And you're right. Of course, I'm not going to tell you. And I, we're just sort of moving forward and with our stories and not really talking about the sourcing. But it's information that we thought was important to publish, and we continue to think that the investigation is important. I think Senator McCain has really nailed the issue by talking about how the story resonates with kids, and that's why we think it's a valuable story. We recognize the sort of seriousness of reporting about grand jury testimony. But this is a story we think the public needs to know about.
The judge in this case, there had been earlier leaks also to the Chronicle, and the judge in this case has declined to throw out the charges, at least so far. Where does the case stand now?
It's basically moving along. The next scheduled court date is set for January, when there are possible evidentiary hearings on some of the defense motions to suppress various pieces of evidence. There is a tentative trial date set for March, though I think now we're in really sort of a waiting period to see how various defendants react to both our stories as well as Victor Conti going on national television and essentially implicating himself for some of this. And I think, it's conceivable that there'll be some fallout from all of this in the case.
Victor Conti is the owner of Balco.
Right.
Now, baseball's policy for steroids is very limited compared to other sports, is it not?
Correct, it is. I think it's Dr. Gary Wadler, I believe, who's an expert in this area, who has, I think he's the one who previously called this an IQ test more than a steroids test. The testing policy has been ridiculed by a number of people. You could effectively take these substances all through the off season, and then stop and just before spring training when you might get tested, make sure you're clear of the system. And then once you're tested at some point during the season, because you only get tested once, you could then begin using whatever regimen you chose to use after that.
And even if you should be not bright enough to get caught, the punishment is you're not even suspended for a first time use.
No, there's a counseling that comes out of the first time use, and it takes 5 positive tests to be suspended for a year, which stands in pretty stark contrast to the Olympic movement, which has recently adopted language to try and ban for life after one use. You're certainly looking at a 2-year ban after a first-time positive test.
Mm-hmm. Fay Vincent joins us now. He was commissioner of the baseball from 1989 to 1992. He's with us by phone from his home in Vero Beach, California. And Commissioner Vincent, former commissioner, it's good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Vero Beach, Florida.
Vero Beach, Florida, excuse me.
The residents would be very indignant.
Well, it'd be very big in any case.
Yes, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
Nice of you to be with us. First of all, does this scandal come as a surprise to you?
No, I don't see how it could. There have just been so many rumors, and I think we all were aware that the steroid problem in baseball was serious after the test last year showed that over 7% of the players tested positive.
Was this an issue when you were commissioner?
No, I've been asked that. We were so busy dealing with cocaine when I was a commissioner. That is, the cocaine problem was pretty severe. There were rumors that Jose Canseco was using steroids, but back in 91 or 92, I don't think any of us really knew much about steroids. It was all a new concept.
We since found out that Ken Caminiti, another guy who was a most valuable player one year, he said in a book that he used steroids and that was what enabled him to have such a spectacular year.
Yes, and I don't know quite how that works. I mean, I don't know how steroids improves performance in baseball, but you would think it would make you stronger or maybe recover quicker after a game. But, you know, one of the problems with steroids is we know so little about them.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty, or one of the difficulties, is with cocaine, and I guess you were involved in the famous Steve Howe case, and among others, but cocaine is an illegal drug. Steroids, they're legal drugs. You can get them by prescription, but this use of them is illegal, and there are restrictions in every other sport. Baseballs are the mildest.
Well, the other problem is the difference between cocaine and to the extent I know it, the difference between cocaine and steroid is a generic term. It covers so many different compounds, literally hundreds and hundreds of compounds can be called steroids. So cocaine, we all know, is bad. No doctor would prescribe it. Where you and I can get steroids prescribed by a doctor for certain forms of swelling or back pain, and you're correct. It's a much more complicated subject. But furthermore, the medical profession doesn't really know yet how bad steroids are for us. I mean, Caminiti took them and died a tragic death. Lyle Alzado, the old football player, had a brain tumor and died. But the doctors I've talked to say they don't have hard information on whether Alzado died of a steroid problem because they don't know whether steroids causes that kind of problem.
Jason Giambi had a tumor, which is reported to have been a pituitary tumor this year and didn't play much of the year. But again, I think doctors have said they don't know if that's related to steroid use or not.
That's correct.
Yeah. Let's get a listener involved in the conversation. And Marlessa joins us from Pleasanton, California.
Hi, Neil. I love the show.
Thank you.
And my family is a huge baseball fan. And, you know, steroids are, it's such an unknown what it does to your body. And it doesn't level the playing field. There's people that use them, people that don't. But the biggest problem is my daughter, you know, admires these players. And when they can't even tell the truth, how do you teach a child to tell the truth if someone like Barry Bonds can't have the courage and just straight out say, I did it?
Mm-hmm. Even under a grant of immunity. And Commissioner, this role model issue is critical. That's what Senator McCain has talked about.
Exactly.
You know, the problem is it's bigger than that. Think of Richard Nixon. I'm just going to give you a few examples. Bill Clinton and Pete Rose. All of them figures of mythic proportion. All of them lie. All of them tried to cover up things they'd done that were wrong, and all of them ultimately paid a pretty big price. I mean, I guess the lesson to your to a daughter or to a young person is that these are very dangerous drugs. Lying about them is not a good idea, and I would hope that maybe Barry Bonds, somebody will come forward and start telling the truth, and that lesson will be a terrific one for young people.
I hope so. Have a great day.
Marlesta, thanks for the call. Faye Vincent, the other issue involved here is that relationship between the Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Union. It is because of the concerns of the union that baseball's rules are so mild.
That's correct. For years, there was no written drug policy in baseball because the union and the commissioner's office and the owners had never had a written agreement covering drug use. That's why when I threw Steve Howe out after 7 drug violations, the union argued that wasn't enough, and they had him reinstated via an arbitration. So the union really believed that even 7 violations wouldn't amount to enough for a lifetime ban. Now we have a drug policy in baseball. It is in writing. It was agreed to. It's toothless and a silly one, but it was agreed to by both sides. So to ask the union now to come in and change it requires some flexibility and some adjustment on the union's part. I don't know that they will do that.
And if they do, wouldn't they want something in exchange for that?
Well, among other things, they could say, look, if you want to renegotiate, we'll renegotiate the whole contract. I mean, it'd be very hard to pick one issue and renegotiate it. After all, what are you going to do if there's disagreement? Could there be a strike or a lockout based on that one issue? So it's a very complicated labor relations issue, legal issue. And I think Tom Glavine said it this morning. He said, we may tweak this agreement. Well, it needs a lot more than tweaking, and if they tweak it, we have 2 more years of a very bad agreement.
Tom Glavine, a pitcher for the Mets and a prominent member of the union. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Troy, who joins us from Iowa City.
I got a couple of quick questions here. How in the world can you get drugs out of any sports? They work. And shouldn't Bonds just have done the same thing as Mr. Clinton? Or... You know, the other thing is isn't that a thing for the kids when they hear, like, the House Post Office of the whole United States 10 years ago selling mm-hmm. cocaine out of the House Post Office? Isn't that a result of what they hear? How in the world can, you know, drugs and sports be more important than selling drugs out of the House Post Office?
Well, let's stick to the current scandal and not one 10 years ago here in Washington, D.C. Troy, thanks for the call. But briefly, Commissioner Vincent, do you see any way to get drugs out of the sport?
Well, it's like saying, how do you get people to pay taxes? We do it because many of us believe it's the right thing to do. And I think the way you would get drugs out of sports, educate the players on the risk to themselves, with more medical insight in what those risks are. Secondly, make the sanctions severe so that if they misbehave, they pay a real price in terms of their career and their financial circumstances. And third, I think, you know, use whatever bully pulpit we have to try to get the public and others to be negative about players who are using drugs. I mean, I think if Barry Bonds today were to think about it, he's not going to be on a Wheaties box. He's not going to have a Coca-Cola contract. These are prices that he'll pay for the rest of his life, and that's a fairly high price.
Faye Vincent, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Faye Vincent was formerly Commissioner of Major League Baseball. He joined us by phone from his home in Vero Beach, Florida. We're going to continue talking about baseball and steroids when we come back from a short break. If you'd like to join us, the number is 800-989-8255. You can send us email, totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We are talking about the baseball and steroids scandal, how it affects the game, and all the kids who admire all the big-time players. Our guest is Mark Fainaruwada, a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, along with Lance Williams. He broke this story. He's with us from the studio at the San Francisco Chronicle. And you're welcome to join us as well, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. And joining us now on the line is Noah calling from San Carlos, California.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I was just wondering, I thought I just heard you and the caller kind of convict Barry Bonds already as lying, and I'm wondering, is there really any evidence that he did, in fact, ask, what is this cream or this clear? Can you please tell me exactly what it is before you put it on? Or maybe he intentionally didn't ask, and therefore he's not lying when he says, I never asked what it is.
Mark, what did he actually say?
Well, what Bond said to the grand jury was, I was told that these two products were, the clear was a product called flaxseed oil, which is a nutritional supplement, and the cream was a arthritic balm, and I didn't believe that my trainer would have any reason to lie to me, and I believe that what he gave me was not steroids. This is all in the context of him being asked not just about those products, but about calendars as well that had his name on. That alluded to a string of other substances the government believes that he had taken or alleged him to have taken, to which he denied all of those. It's also in the context of previous reports that talk about two of the indicted men in the case having told the federal government that Bonds was receiving and using these substances. They later recanted those statements. It's also in the context of us having previously reported on a secret recording in which Anderson acknowledges that Bonds was using an undetectable steroid in 2003.
Gary Anderson was the trainer. So is it fair to say that Mr. Bonds' explanation to the grand jury strains credulity?
Well, I think I wouldn't necessarily myself judge it, but I think if you read the criticism around the country and the commentary around the country, there seem to be a lot of people who are not buying the explanation. There are a number of both fans and columnists and pundits around the country who are finding it hard for them to believe the explanation.
Noah?
Well, I would wait and leave it up to our wonderful legal system and judicial system to before drawing any conclusions.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in this case, the one unfortunate situation here is that Bonds is not, or fortunate for Bonds, or this is not a case where Bonds is under any sort of legal scrutiny. This is a case that is looking at the four men who've indicted and whether baseball launches its own investigation would then perhaps provide more information. But this is, I think, primarily for these athletes, a story that is about the court of public opinion rather than the federal courts.
Noah, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, could I just add one more thing?
Sure.
I just wanted to say I think the most important role models are the parents themselves, and they're number one to teach your kids, you know, what's important.
Noah, thanks very much for
Thank
the
you.
Call. Appreciate it. The Players Union, as well as attorneys and agents who represent athletes, maintain that drug testing or vigorous drug testing violates a player's right to privacy. David Cornwell is president of the law firm DNK Cornwell, which represents a variety of athletes. He's also an attorney for five athletes involved or implicated in the Balco case, including Benito Santiago, formerly of the San Francisco Giants. And Mr. Cornwell joins us now by phone from his office in San Clemente, California. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thank you. From one of your clients' perspective, if you will, what's at issue here in the Balco case?
Well, frankly, from our perspective, the Balco case is unrelated to issues that we confront either in baseball or football. Unfortunately, I understand that Mark and hello, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Hi, David. How
he and I have had the opportunity to work together. He certainly has a job to do. But unfortunately, through media leaks and other sources, my clients have been drawn back into an unrelated criminal proceeding in which they simply participated as witnesses and were guaranteed both immunity as well as confidentiality. With these leaks now, their legitimate privacy interests have been violated, and frankly, I think it makes it more difficult for the Baseball Players Association and the league office to come to an agreement, because the fundamental element of any workplace testing program is confidentiality. And the primary purpose of that being the fundamental element is that the primary objective of any testing program is treatment. And whether it's a player or a administrative assistant in a company, they have an absolute right to have the results of their drug tests kept confidential.
It's hard to keep drug tests confidential if players are suspended for various things.
Well, while it's difficult, it's not impossible. But that certainly begs the question of what you do prior to any discipline being imposed. And in this instance, especially in connection with my client, Benito Santiago, in baseball, there's no prospective discipline pending. So there's certainly no reason for confidentiality to have been breached.
In the broader issue, I mean, outside of the particular Balco context, isn't it in the interest of your clients, or in the case of the players' union, in the interest of their members, their health and the integrity of the sport from which they earn their living are at question here? Shouldn't there be more testing?
I don't know that there needs to be more testing, but I think the boat has sailed and all of us agree that testing is appropriate, if for no other reason than to preserve the public's confidence in the integrity of the game. All of us benefit from fan enjoyment of the game, and playing professional sports is not a right. It's a privilege that brings certain responsibilities, one of which is to preserve the integrity of the game. So with that said, I don't think there's any debate about the proprietary nature of drug testing in professional sports. The question is, what rules are we going to follow when we do that? And one of the rules the testers have to follow is maintaining confidentiality. One of the rules the players have to follow is to make themselves available for testing, avoid the use of banned substances, and if they are caught, to suffer the penalties.
And Mark Fainaruwata, one of the issues in the Balco case was the federal government's interest in the tests that were made by baseball of the various players, which were apparently identified by name, and the players' distrust that baseball would turn those over with their names on them.
Right. I mean, you know, David's exactly right. The issue now that's facing the commissioner's office and the union and trying to negotiate any possible change is really complicated by what's happened over the course of the last year. The government actually seized documents and, in some cases, some samples several months ago. We had reported about this that were from the first year of baseball testing. That testing was supposed to be an anonymous survey testing done prior to them implementing punitive testing. And now you've got a considerable amount of distrust that is built up over this issue.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller involved in the conversation. Gary's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I just think this is kind of a waste of money for John McCain to be going after professional athletes. I mean, they're not really hurting anyone. So using congressional money to actually go after these people, isn't that kind of a waste?
Well, the federal government is investigating them for crimes. In the Balco case, as far as I know, Senator McCain's legislation is not costing any money, or proposed legislation hasn't cost anything yet. Perhaps he's using it to put pressure on the Major League Baseball Players Association and on Major League Baseball in general.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Gary, for the call. But does the threat of legislation, David Cornwell, factor into this?
It certainly does. because of my continuing representation of players involved in these and other matters, I do have the opportunity to deal directly with the Baseball Players Association. And they would much rather work out a private agreement that addresses and protects the interests of their members than have federal legislation impose on the industry a workplace testing program that may or may not be adequately responsive to the needs of the industry itself.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk now with Mark, and Mark is with us from San Jose, California.
Hi, Neil. Great program.
Thank you.
Great. I just had a comment about the what I perceive as the hypocrisy and the naivete of the general public about drug use in sports. Basically, you can find a drugstore in every corner. We have a love-hate relationship with drugs in this country, and to expect that to be able to use drugs for every common ailment except for performance enhancement, except unless you count Viagra, seems ridiculous to me. The seriousness of drug use, of steroid use, and putting in the same classification as cocaine is also ridiculous. Drug testing, the average life expectancy of NFL players is extremely low. These athletes are doing incredible damage to their bodies just by playing the sport, and the use of anabolics, I don't think it's anywhere near as as dangerous as people like to make it out. And the fans in the stands drinking beer and alcohol and damaging their bodies, and then looking at these guys who are doing these incredible skills, using anabolics to enhance their performance, to provide the records and the home runs and the faster Olympic records and breaking records. I think if you got rid of them, if you truly could, I think it would be fine, but I don't think you ever will. And for every Balco, you're going to have another designer lab that tweaks a molecule that comes up with something undetected again. I think that it's very hypocritical of the fans and the public to expect these huge records from these athletes year in and year out. And look at the rewards if athletes actually get them. Incredible money, incredible status and celebrity, and to expect them not to do every single possible thing, I think, is naive. Also, if people use supplements, using creatine as an example, it basically seems to me that if a supplement, if a substance is legal and it doesn't work, like creatine doesn't work very well, then it's considered okay. But if it actually works, even if it's fairly safe, like many of the anabolics are, then it's not all right.
Mm-hmm. David Cornwell, the hypocrisy argument has certainly been raised, and nobody means to say that anabolic steroids are in the same class as cocaine. But go ahead.
Well, I think I disagree with the caller's fundamental premise. Jason Giambi had a benign tumor, and it's possible that it was the result of the use of anabolic steroids. It is possible that Lal Alzado died because of the use of anabolic steroids. I don't think that just because there may be other problems in society, we should conclude that this is not a problem. Treatment, education is important. I'm not sure that there's any record that is worth giving yourself cancer in professional sports. Also recognizing it is to my chagrin that professional athletes are viewed more as professional athletes than men who play professional sports, and that solely because of their physical attributes they are viewed as role models. But that's what we have to deal with. And to the extent that they are communicating to youngsters around the world that there are shortcuts that you can take to improve your performance to get the rewards, either monetary or exposure, I think that's the wrong message.
David Cornwell, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
David Cornwell, president of the law firm D.N.K. Cornwell, the attorney for five of the athletes involved or implicated in the Balco case. Mr. Cornwell joined us by phone from his office in San Clemente, California. Briefly, Mark Fainaruwada, one of the most treasured records, Barry Bonds, if he was using steroids, is approaching soon the all-time baseball home run record now held by Hank Aaron. A few years ago, he broke the single-season record held by Mark McGwire. There's going to be a lot of questions asked about those records.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see next year as he approaches Babe Ruth's mark, and then presumably the following year after that as he approaches Aaron, the kind of response he gets. I mean, when we were writing these stories, and we wrote many stories about Bonds in the past year, there was a general reaction, it seemed, from fans that was either a lack of caring or sort of more an aggressive response towards us. And I'll be curious to see now, the way the story has played out over the past couple of days, whether that attitude has changed. I think it certainly has changed in the media, and I think it has certainly changed to some degree amongst fans, and I think we just have to wait to see how they deal with him breaking what, you know, arguably is the most hallowed record in all sports.
And one man whose records he has broken, his godfather, Willie Mays, issued an interesting statement over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I have not seen that statement, actually, so perhaps you can enlighten me. I've been feeling deluged by information over the course of the last several days. What did he say?
Well, after having long been supportive of his godson, Barry Bonds, who, of course, also lost his father not so long ago, he questioned the use of steroids and basically came out and said, this is wrong, and that this all has to be looked into. But in any case, we're talking about steroids and baseball. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now is a man mentioned earlier in the conversation, Dr. Gary Wadler, a professor of clinical medicine at New York University. He's also with the World Anti-Doping Agency. He's with us by phone from his office in Long Island in New York. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We've heard a lot about these substances, the cream and the clear. In layman's terms, what are these drugs? What do we know about what they do?
Well, the cream and the clear are just variations of anabolic steroids. All anabolic steroids are derivatives of the male hormone testosterone, which we all have in our body. And there are different ways of getting it into the body. You can inject it in oil, it can hang around for 9 months. You can inject it in a water base, hang around for a shorter period of time. You can take it as a tablet. You can put it on as a patch, or you can rub it into your skin as a cream, or in the case of THG or the clear, you can put it in the membranes under your mouth. The reason the clear and the cream became of interest was not because they're anabolic steroids. It was because they were anabolic steroids that made it difficult to detect in the laboratory. In the case of the clear or THG, it disintegrated while putting through the machinery. In the terms of the cream, we used complicated ratios to figure out if somebody used testosterone, and the cream was a device intended to confuse the ratios in the laboratory. So there was nothing special about the active ingredient. What was special about it was the detection methods that were used.
In his interview on ABC the other night, Victor Conti, the owner of Balco, said this is ridiculous. He was not the only source of steroids to athletes of all kinds, and that indeed new and undetectable anabolic steroids are out. He called it the stuff volume 3.
Well, you know, people will continue to try to develop those drugs which enhance performance and will evade detection. And there's been much discussion about anabolic steroids. Clearly, growth hormone, which has been in play in the Balco situation, mm-hmm. is another one. It has different features in terms of what it does to the body. But here we in Athens started to test growth hormone at the 300 tests. For growth hormone, and none was detected. But if I might, Neil, I'd like to sort of put this in some perspective, because in baseball, they said they had to have 5% or so of the players test positive in a survey year to indicate we would have a problem that would be worthy of implementing a drug testing program in professional baseball. And as you know, there were about 85 players that tested positive. That would be the equivalent of more than the Mets and Yankees squads combined. If you view that, so that's easy 5% in the test, which was as porous Swiss cheese, because anybody knows anything about this. It was more, like I said, an IQ test, and you'd have to have a pretty low IQ test to fail it. But if you look at the World Anti-Doping Agency, they did 150,000 tests in 2003, and only 1.6% were positive, and that was a well-implemented drug testing program. If you look the last quarter of the United States Anti-Doping Agency, of roughly 1,700 tests, less than 0.1% were positive.
Dr. Wadler, can you hang on with us? We have to take a short break.
Sure.
We'll continue this conversation. This is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're wrapping up our conversation on baseball and steroids. Our guests are Mark Fainaru-Wada of the San Francisco Chronicle and Dr. Gary Wadler, who's with the World Anti-Doping Agency and a professor of clinical medicine at New York University. And before the break, Dr. Wadler, you were saying how rigorous tests, large scale, done by the World Anti-Doping Agency show very low levels of steroid use, while the Swiss cheese test, as I think you described it, conducted by baseball, showed a much higher percentage.
Yes, and it would lead me to believe that, therefore, the incidence of use in professional baseball is substantially higher than the 5 to 7% that we've heard about. You know, in that regard, you know, the Olympic movement was in great jeopardy because of doping, in many ways similar to what the status of professional baseball is. And they recognized that their solution was not to be in an area which exceeded their expertise and led to the formation of the World Anti-Doping Agency, which is an international body with a $20 million budget a year made up of both the governments of the world and sporting bodies of the world. And that's where the IOC basically farmed out its doping problem. I'm suggesting that perhaps the Players Association and the union and Major League Baseball ought to recognize they are reaching the limits of their own capabilities and really probably ought to get out of the anti-doping business and contract out to an entity such as the World Anti-Doping Agency or the United States Anti-Doping Agency, where there's the scientists, the resources, the budgets, the research, the independence, the transparency, and so on that is required to have a meaningful program. Otherwise, they're going to fall from the weight of this thing, and it will continue to grow in its complexity, and there's no way that professional baseball or any of the professional sports leagues in the United States are going to be able to withstand the weight of that.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller on. This is Carl, who is with us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, hi. I have a comment, and my comment is that I'm very frustrated with the demonization of steroid use. I'm also frustrated with the constant references to studies that show that steroid use is dangerous because there is an equal body of evidence showing that it's not dangerous. And I believe that professional athletes who can afford to hire nutritionists to give them the best nutritional regimens and trainers to train them and buy the best gear that helps them run faster and jump higher should be allowed to take anabolic steroids in the off-season to build muscle. I'm a strength athlete, and I use anabolic steroids, and I'm under the supervision of a doctor, and I maintain a very, very healthy profile with my body. But the reality is that anabolic steroids are not the demons here. And if they are, then we can't be hypocritical and allow women to take birth control pills for recreational sex, which is an anabolic, which is a steroid. Granted, not anabolic, but yet athletes can't take them to progress in their chosen field.
Let's get a reaction from Dr. Wadler.
Well, I'm glad he mentioned the issue of birth control pills, which brings us to estrogens, and we are now learning for all the years that women were taking hormone replacement therapy, they, in fact, were not protecting their hearts. They were increasing the risk of heart attack. They were increasing the risk of stroke. They were increasing the risk of breast cancer, and they were taking it for what was thought to be legitimate medical purposes. So,
but what did they find out? The adding testosterone balanced it out and corrected all those problems.
No, it has not corrected all those problems.
Let the doctor speak, please. We let you talk.
Let me go further, because, and I understand the passion of those who feel committed to anabolic steroids, but between 3.5% and 4% of 12th graders in this country have used anabolic steroids, as many as 2.5% of 8th graders. And regarding its side effects, I am a physician who has made enormous studies of this subject, and I can assure you that they are very dangerous drugs. They have resulted in an array of serious problems, and I'll give you some, whether it's your heart or your liver or stunting the growth of an adolescent or causing profound depression or suicide, as Taylor Hooten did and at age 16 because his strength coach told him to put on 30 pounds. There are a litany of very serious, including death, associated with anabolic steroids. They were some of the most controlled substances in this country under federal law, equivalent to the control of narcotics. And to have the illusion that they are safe is absolutely misguided and based on wrong premises and wrong information, and getting that information off the Internet and the websites is not the source of the information.
Mm-hmm. Mark Fenaru-Wada, wanted to bring you back into the conversation here. One of the questions really has to do with the romance and the attraction of fans to the game of baseball. As this story simmered along last summer, and as you mentioned earlier, this has been going on for quite some time. As we mentioned earlier, there were record turnouts. Fans did not seem to mind.
No, I mean, baseball has been arguably the most resilient of all sports. I mean, this is a sport that canceled its World Series, and people came back in record droves, arguably because of performance-enhancing, performances by guys like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and such. So, but this is a sport that has shown, amazing resilience. And I don't know that necessarily when we, gather in spring training and the season starts, whether you're going to see any impact from fans. I think the dialogue will continue. The question will be whether fans, for any reason, decide not to show up to games.
Well, both of you, thanks very much. And before we leave the subject, I have to make a correction. I misspoke earlier and identified a quote to Willie Mays. It was, in fact, Hank Aaron who said that he was disturbed by reports of Barry Bonds' use of steroids. And I apologize for the error. Mark Fenaru-Wada, thanks very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Mark Fenaru-Wada, a sports reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Dr. Gary Wadler, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Wadler is a member of the World Anti-Doping Agency and a professor of clinical medicine at New York University.